Sinimulan natin ang serye na ito, month of February, and now we come to the conclusion. At sana ang bagay na talagang na ipanghamon sa atin sa tuwi-tuwi na tinatalakay natin ang iba't ibang katangian ng Diyos ay talagang makikilala natin ang Diyos. Never comprehensively, we can never comprehend God in a comprehensive way, yet we can really know God, and that in itself is a great privilege. Napakalaking pabor na masabi nating makilala natin ang Diyos. Ngunit paano ba nakikilala ang Diyos? Inumpisaan natin sa pagsasalungat, sa pag-aangkin na nakikilala ang Diyos sa paraan ng imahen. Sincero ang marami sa paniniwala that they can know God, they can draw near to God by way of images, and of course that is not how it is presented in the scripture. Instead, the way to know God is that He revealed Himself through His attributes. Nagpakilala siya hindi sa paraan ng imahe na nakikita, kundi sa paraan ng kanyang mga katangian. Kaya nga kapag may nagtatanong sa akin, Pastor, anong iisipin ko kapag ako'y lumalapit sa Diyos, kapag ako'y nakikipag-ugnayan sa Diyos? Nag-iisip sila ng malaking bagay o something that will remind them of greatness, and they think of some images of greatness. Ang sinasabi ko sa kanila, isipin ninyo ang katangian, because that is how we are to know God. We have this key scripture na sinimula natin sa Jeremiah 9, let not the wise man boast about his wisdom, or the strong man boast in his strength, or the rich man boast about his riches. Let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me. So yun ang maari nating parangalan na nauunawaan at nakikilala ako. Sa paanong paraan? I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. So ano itong mga bagay na ito? Yan yung mga katangian o yung tinatawag nating attributes. So the way to know God is through His attributes. Anong uri siya ng Diyos? At sa ating pag-aaral, para ma-systematize natin ito, ay pinag-aralan natin sa dalawang hanay ang mga attributes ng Panginoon in terms of greatness, in terms of attributes of goodness. Pag sinabi natin greatness, these are the non-moral superlatives of God. And in terms of goodness, these are the moral superlatives of God. Now, we can classify the attributes in other ways. Hindi natin sinasabi na ito lang ang paraan na ihanay ang mga katangian ng Diyos. But the reason why we classified it in this way is in order to be reminded na humihingi ng response. At yung response na hinihingi ay in terms of praise and thanksgiving. Kung isipin natin ang mga katangian ng Diyos, hindi lang yan information. Hindi mo lang sasabihin na alam ko na, ganito pala ang Diyos. Kundi merong tugon na pinupuri ko ang Diyos dahil ganito siya. Nagpapasalamat ako sa Diyos dahil sa kabutihan niya. So we therefore think of the attributes of God in terms of the response that is asked of us. So ang tinitingnan natin sa last two lessons natin dito ay paano natin nararanasan ang mga katangian ng Diyos? How do we experience the attributes of God? Ginagamit natin ang susing talata sa Isaiah 57 and verse 15, I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Pansinin niyo rito yung pagsasama ng kanyang kataasan, ngunit siya naman ay nananahan ng kasama ng mga may kababaan. Pagbalansehin natin ito. Napakahalaga ng balanse nito sa karanasan natin. Kapag mararanasan natin ng tama ang mga katangian ng Diyos, sa dalawang paraan na ito natin siya mararanasan. So, tiningnan natin sa kanyang relasyon sa creation. He is above creation. Hindi siya kaisa lang ng nilikha. Hindi siya bahagi ng nilikha. Siya ay nakatataas, nangingibabaw sa nilikha. Subalit, totoo siyang nakikiisa. He genuinely relates, nakikiugnayan sa kanyang nilikha. Ang tawag riyan sa theology ay yung isa ay transcendent, pangingibabaw ng Diyos. At yan ang tinignan natin last week, God is transcendent. Ang titingnan natin ngayon ay ang tinatawag na God is immanent. Ibig sabihin niya, nakikipag-ugnayan siya, nakikiisa, nakikilahok, nakikisali sa mga nangyayari sa nilikha. So when we think of the transcendence of God, that God is above, wag natin itong i-conclude na withdrawal. So transcendent is not withdrawal of God. Yes, He is transcendent. Tiningnan natin yan last week. Hindi siya bahagi lang ng nilikha. Hindi siya maaring kunin ng nilikha. He cannot be captured by anything in creation. We must maintain the transcendence of God. But transcendence is not to be equated with withdrawal. Hindi withdrawal ang transcendence ng Panginoon. Kundi yung kanyang transcendence, pinili niya na maging immanent, maging kasali, maging kaugnayan ng nilikha. Ang translation niyan, ang magiging katumbas niyan, the transcendent God becoming immanent is what we call the sovereign God. Mararanasan natin siya, pero dahil siya ay transcendent, pinili niya na makipag-ugnayan. Ang pakikipag-ugnayan ng Diyos sa atin, nararanasan natin bilang soberanong Diyos. Hindi natin siya makokontrol. Siya ang may control. Siya ang may autoridad. Pero pinili niya na magkaroon ng presensya. Hindi siya nag-withdraw. Yung pag-withdraw, yan yung deism. Parang yung tao na gumawa ng relo, pagkatapos niyang gawin at naging self-propelling na lang yung watch, iniwan na niya at kumikilos na lang yung watch. Hindi ganun ang ginawa ng Diyos sa mundo, na parang iniwan niya na kumikilos sa kanyang sarili. No, God is transcendent. Pag naranasan natin ang Diyos, mararanasan natin siya as lofty, high, and lifted up. Yet, this high God, this God above us, chose to relate with us. Pinili niya na makipag-ugnayan sa atin. At yan po ang titingnan natin na kanyang immanence. God is present. God is active within creation. And when God chose to be active within creation, we experience Him as the sovereign God. Tingnan natin paano ito pinipresenta sa kasulatan. First, nothing in creation is out of reach of God at any time. Walang bahagi ng nilikha na hindi naaabot ng Diyos sa anumang panahon. Walang masyadong malayo sa Diyos. Ang sabi sa Jeremias ay, makapagtatago ba ang isang tao sa mga lihim na dako upang hindi ko siya makita? Sabi ng Panginoon, hindi ba pinupuno ko ang langit at ang lupa? Sabi ng Panginoon. So dito makikita natin, walang anumang lugar sa nilikha na para bang masyado ng liblib. Sa atin, maraming ganyan. Hindi na natin maabot. O kahit pa yung napakataas, hindi natin maakyat. Pero walang ganyan sa Diyos. So in other words, everything in creation, however vast we think of creation, whether just in terms of the earth or in terms of the universe, there is nothing in all of creation that is out of reach to God. Lahat ay kanyang abot. At yung sinabi nga sa Acts, nung kausap ni Pablo ang mga philosophers ng Athens, gumagawa sila ng mga maraming templo at mga monumento para sa kanilang iba't ibang Diyos. At nang ipinakilala na ni Pablo yung tunay na Diyos, sa halip na yung Diyos ang kanilang ibinabahay, ang sabi ni Pablo, in Him we live and move and have our being. Sa halip na yung mga Diyos nyo na inyong ibinabahay at ibinabantayog, ang tunay na Diyos, tayo ang naninirahan sa kanyang sa kanyang pagka-Diyos. Walang bagay, walang lugar, walang dako dito sa mundo na hindi tayo nasa kanyang kalakhan. So that is what Paul is saying. You are wrong when you think you can make God inhabit your temples. You are wrong when you think you can feed God with your ritual food. We live in Him. We have our being in Him. So makikita natin dito yung katotohanan na everything in creation is within reach by God. And then isa pa, everything in creation exists by sustenance of God. Kaya hindi nananatili ang anumang nilikha sa kanyang sarili. Ito ay tinutustusan ng Diyos. Kahit pa ang madalas nakikita natin bilang mga nag-aaral ng siyensya, nag-aaral ng kalikasan, ang maaaring nakikita natin ay yung mga second causes, you know, the wind, the air, oxygen, etc. At totoo ang mga bagay na yun, tamang pag-aralan sila. Paano yung kanilang struktura, pattern, everything. We study them. But let us not miss, as Christians, Huwag nating i-miss yung pinaka-original cause. Ang nagtutustos ng lahat ay ang Diyos. Ang sabi sa Job 34, kung ibabalik niya ang kanyang diwa sa sarili niya at titipunin sa kanyang sarili ang kanyang hininga, ibig sabihin, kabawiin niya yung kanyang ipinagtutustos, anong mangyayari? Lahat ng laman ay magkakasamang mamamatay at babalik sa alabok ang sangkatauhan. Maring ang iniisip lang natin ay yung oxygen at yung mga second causes. Pero ang sabi ang pagbinawi yan ng Diyos. Ang ibig sabihin ng Diyos ang nagtutustos niyan, kung bawiin niya yan, patay lahat. That's how everything is sustained by our God. Kaya't huwag tayong makalimot sa bagay na yan. Then, in the throne room of God, in Revelation, when John was made to see the vision of the throne of God, at nandun ang mga 24 elders, 4 creatures, hindi ko nabibigyan ng mahabang interpretation, but the 24 elders represent the church, the 4 living creatures represent creation, so creation and church worship God in the throne of God. At anong naging conclusion doon ng mga sumasamba sa Diyos? You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created. And take note, have their being. Yung kanilang being, meaning continuing. We are being. But the reason why we are being is because of God's will. God sustains. So yung 24 elders and 4 living creatures in the throne of God worship God. And one of the reasons is the recognition that it is God who sustains us. Hindi tayo mananatili ng isang segundong mas mahaba kung bawiin ng Diyos ang kanyang sustento, yung kanyang pagtutustos ng kanyang kalooban na tayo ay manatili. And so that is part of the involvement of God in creation. So nature has no independent existence from God, which means nature minus God is nothing. Wala ang Diyos, walang nature. God, on the other hand, has an independent existence from nature. Ayan, nakita natin sa transcendence. Even without nature, God will be. Kahit wala ang kalikasan, nariyan ang Diyos. Kaya nga, ang pinaulit-ulit nating diagram noon, there are only 2 categories of existence in the biggest classification of all, God and everything else. The everything else you can classify as animals, humans, non-living things, etc. But they all belong to the non-God beings. There's God and everything else is not God. May Diyos at lahat ay hindi Diyos. At ganyan lamang ang kategorya ng lahat. Kaya God minus nature will remain God. Nature minus God, nothing. So ganyan ang ibig sabihin na tinutustusan tayo ng Diyos. Subalit, isang bagay pa na pinipresenta ng kasulatan, God is active in human experience. So tinignan natin sa nature, creation, mas itutok natin sa human experience, sa karanasan natin. At aktibo ang Diyos sa karanasan ng tao. God is active in human experience, the way this is presented. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So, ibig sabihin niyan, you are always under God's moral judgment. He knows your thoughts, He knows your deeds, He knows your attitudes, and He knows by His eyes, His holy eyes, whether they are good or evil. Kaya nasa lahat ng dako, kaya nararanasan natin ito. Hindi maaring sabihin mo na ako lang ito. There is no time, there is no experience where you are away from God. And that includes He bestows common grace in the unbelieving world. Kaya huwag natin isipin ang Diyos ay nasa mga mananampalataya lamang. Ang Diyos ay kumikilo sa lahat ng mga tao
kasama ng mga hindi mananampalataya at sa mga hindi mananampalataya, maging sa kanila mabuti ang Diyos. Maging sa kanila nagbibigay ng biyaya ang ating Diyos. Psalm 8:4, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. So, totoo na aktibo ang Diyos sa kalikasan, pero hindi pa rin maitutumbas sa kanyang pakikipag-ugnayan sa mga tao. Tinutustusan niya ang kalikasan, pero gaano man sila kalaki, iba yung salitang ginamit para sa mga tao. Tinutustusan niya ang kalikasan, pero pagdating sa tao, mindful. He visits. Nakikiugnayan siya sa tao. He cares. Kumakalinga siya sa tao. Kaya kapag nakikita mo yung mga hindi mananampalataya pero parang pinapasagana at maganda yung pamumuhay, huwag mong sabihin na sa diablo yan. Hindi. Mabuti ang Diyos. Maging sa mga hindi mananampalataya. At ngunit, meron pa rin kakaiba pagdating sa mga mananampalataya. Yes, God bestows common grace upon the unbelieving world, but for believers, it is still different. The way this is put in Isaiah, sabi ng Panginoon, ang langit ay aking trono at ang lupa ay aking tuntungan. Ano ang bahay na inyong itatayo para sa akin at ano ang dako ng aking pahingahan? Muli, yun ang wasturyan, yung pag-iisip ng mga pagano na pwede nilang ibahay ang Diyos. Pwede nilang i-capture ang Diyos. Nasabi niya, hindi. Ang sabi niya, sapagkat ang lahat ng mga bagay na ito ay nilikha ng aking kamay. Kaya't nangyari ang lahat ng mga bagay na ito, sabi ng Panginoon. But take note, ngunit, ito ang taong aking titingnan. Siya na mapagkumbaba at may nagsisising diwa at nanginginig sa aking salita. Kaya salit na isipin ninyo na basta meron kang templo, andyan ang Diyos. Ang pinili ng Diyos na makipag-ugnayan sa espesyal na paraan, sa natatanging paraan ng relasyon, ayun daw may takot sa Kanya. Yung may paggalang sa Kanyang salita, nakikipag-ugnayan sa Kanya sa pamagitan ng salita. Tatanungin kita bilang mananampalataya, nararanasan mo ba yan? Na nakikipag-ugnayan ka sa Diyos at ang pakikipag-ugnayan ng Diyos hindi dahil sa nasa simbahan ka, hindi dahil sa nasa isang banal na lugar ka. Ang pakikipag-ugnayan daw ng Diyos ay kung saan at kung kailan ikaw ay gumagalang sa Kanyang salita. Doon tuwang-tuwa ang Diyos, parang nasa Kanyang kalakhang dako. Nakita niya yung isang taong nagbukas ng Biblia. Doon siya natuwa, doon siya tumingin sa laki ng sang sinukob, sa laki ng kanyang sang nilikha, sa dami ng mga bituin, milyon-milyon ng mga nilikhang maaring hangaan, nang magbuklat ng Biblia ang isang mananampalataya, tiningnan ng Diyos. That's the graphic portrayal here of the vastness of the universe. God saw someone who meditated upon His Word. So, kailan nangyari ito? Sana nangyari ito this week sa iyong sariling karanasan. So, what we see here is God graciously communes with the righteous in a way that is special that He does not do with mere common grace bestowal. Yan ang ginagawa niya sa mga hindi mananampalataya. Pero sa mananampalataya, napakaganda ng uri ng relasyon na tinutustos ng Diyos sa kanila. Kaya sa biblical presentation ng immanence, pinapakita na aktibo ang Diyos sa kalikasan at lalo na sa sangkatauhan, lalong-lalo na sa mananampalataya. But an important caution, God's immanence is not identification with any of His creation. Yan ang mali ng mga pagano. Nakikita nila yung kagilagilalas na pangitain sa mga kidlat o mga buhawi. At inaakala nila na andyan ang Diyos. Eh, sa sunod-sunod na tanong ng Diyos kay Job, Job 38-42, ipinakita roon na control niya pati mga constellations, mga natural forces, mga pwersa ng kalikasan, Nasa kanyang control yan, kaya hindi natin siya maaring i-identify with any of this work of creation. So, immanent, yes. Involved, yes. Identical, no. So, we must not think of God in terms of what is known as polytheism. Yung mga nagsasabi na God is everything and everything is God. Hindi totoo yan. Sa lahat ng mga nangyayari sa kalikasan, ang Diyos ay aktibo, pero iba siya sa kalikasan. One of the classic books produced by an evangelical author is that by Francis Schaeffer, The God Who Is There. Ibig sabihin niya, God has a presence that cannot be identified with anything in creation. He is there. He is not something within. He is out there. Ibig sabihin, objective presence. At anong magiging implication nito kung ganito natin tingnan ng Diyos? Iba siya sa kalikasan, ngunit sangkot siya, aktibo siya sa kanyang nilikha. Well, first implication, it betrays the folly of atheism. No, maaaring ang isang atheist, sasabihin niyang sincere siya sa paghahanap ng Diyos at wala siyang makitang ebidensya. But in reality, this is, the fact here is that it is not a case of a man objectively seeking evidences of God and coming to conclusion that there is no God. Kung basahin ninyo mga militant atheists, I told you in a previous lesson about Richard Dawkins. Another one is Christopher Hitchens, who just died recently, a very influential journalist whose column is syndicated internationally, and a very militant atheist. So dito lang sa kanyang book, ay God is not great. And he's very irreverent. Kung basahin yung mga columns niya, at kung ang paksa niya ay tungkol sa religion, he can be very irreverent. And you have people who nagmumultiply yung dami ng mga militant atheists. But let me tell you that ang problema rito, militant atheists play God over God by requiring their idea of evidences. Kung minsan masyado ng sili, kung may Diyos, dapat patayin niya yung mga masasamang tao. O kung may Diyos, kidlatan niya ako ngayon. Kung may Diyos, at napakaraming sili evidences na kanilang hinihingi. And what they are doing actually is they are playing God over God. And that's the blasphemy in this approach. But the real explanation for this is what the Bible tells us in Romans 1:28. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them over to a debased mind. They are actually surrounded by evidences, except that they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Ayaw nila na panatilihin ang Diyos sa kanilang isip. Ang ibig sabihin, ang Diyos na sa isipan nila, ayaw nila. So it is a positive and blasphemous rejection of the idea of God. It is not that they began with an objective analysis coming to conclusion that there is no God. They actually begin with God in their mind and they reject Him. Ganyan ang nangyayari sa atheism. But also, besides atheism, it also exposes the inadequacy of spectacularism. Ano yung spectacularism? Kung ang atheism dinideny ang Diyos, spectacularism is insisting that God is to be seen in the spectacular. Kailangan may kababalaghan. Ayan ang ginawa ng charismatic movement. They have bred the habit of identifying God with the miraculous. So sinanay ang mga tao na asahan ang Diyos sa kababalaghan, na para bang hindi Diyos kapag ordinaryo lang. Kung yan ay Diyos, dapat makapangyarihan, may kababalaghan, may himala. So there is a constant insistence on signs and wonders. So yan yung limit nating maririnig ng mga pag-aangkin. Signs, miracles, wonders. And if I may be speaking to anyone here, who is of that bent. Yan ang iyong diwa na kapag sa Diyos, kababalaghan. Kaya hindi mo maisip na yung sakit ay maaring gamitin ng Diyos yung mga ordinaryong gamot at manggagamot. Laging pinapaisip sa mga tao ay manampalataya ka lamang at siya ay kikilos ng may kababalaghan. This is wrong. And in fact, it is a grand mistake to make miracles the sign of God. Why? Eh, kumisan, very silly na yung mga inaangking miracle. Hindi nyo mabasa. Nakalagay rin na, a miracle, I can crawl. I can crawl. Ibig sabihin, naalala ko yung minsan, may nagsabi sa akin na nakaranas siya ng kababalaghan. Pinalaya siya sa wheelchair. Kaya lang, nakasaklay siya. Paano masasabing kababalaghan yun na hindi siya talaga pinalakad? So, yan yung silliness ng mga inaangking miracles ngayon. Pero the grand error here is that miracles are not the sign of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all powers, signs, and lying wonders. Signs and wonders can be exercised by the evil one. Don't make it the sign, the evidence of God. And this is the error of spectacularism. And what it has done to Christians is they have failed to experience and expect God in the ordinary. Doon sa mga ordinaryong bagay. Our favorite verse. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The precious words here are all things work together for good. Now, don't distort this. I saw a poster that says all things are good, and then under it nakalagay Romans 8:28. And that is a definite distortion of this verse. It is not saying all things are good. It is saying all things work together for good to those who love God. Now, yung all things include bad things. And that gives us the readiness to experience bad things, very bad things, and yet expect God to move. Maasahan natin ang Diyos ay kikilos kahit pa sa mga masasamang nangyayari sa atin. Yan ang providensya ng Diyos. Dahil sa kanyang immanence, aktibo siya sa lahat ng bagay. At mapapaniwalaan natin ang talatang ito kahit pa may mga masamang nangyayari dahil sa providensya ng Diyos. Ito ang hindi nasanay sa mga mananampalatayang tinuruan ng paulit-ulit tungkol sa mga kababalaghan ang asahan. And that is not the right way to live the Christian life. And then it encourages sensitivity to and communion with God in ordinary providence. Sa mga ordinaryong pangyayari, dyan natin maasahan ng Diyos. Providence is the outworking of God's purpose through the natural and human. Hindi natin dinideny ang miracle. God can do miracle and He does still. But that is not what we are expected to live by. Hindi tayo pinabubuhay ng inaasahan ay milagro sa araw-araw. Kung may mangyari, magpasalamat tayo sa Diyos. Pero sa pang-araw-araw natin, ang prinsipyo natin ay mabuhay ng ayon sa mga ordinaryong kasangkapan ng Diyos. Sa kalikasan, sa mga binibigay niyang kaloob, sa ating kalakasan, yan ang pinapaasa sa atin. And that is the reason why closeness to God as a Christian experience is something we can develop. Not through miracles, but through ordinary means of grace. One of the precious promises we have is in Matthew 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So imagine this, a one-on-one experience between God and the believer in the closet. Yan ang maari nating maranasan ng dahil sa providensya ng ating Diyos. Yan ang tanong sa atin, nararanasan ba natin ang mga katangian ng Diyos sa ating silid dalanginan?
But now, let me conclude with its Christological connection. Paano natin mararanasan ang lahat ng mga katangian na ito ng Diyos na ating pinag-aralan? Whether attributes of greatness, attributes of goodness, well, this is the wonder of it all. The transcendent God becoming most immanent has its most redemptive significance in the incarnation of the Son of God. One of the most mysterious, one of the most profound statements of the Bible is John 1:14. After saying, so John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14 says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Isipin natin ang puntong ito. The very word flesh is or denotes frailty. Hindi lang sinabing He became man. Ang talagang pinili ay flesh to denote that the Son of God from His transcendent glory became a very dependent human being, dependent upon God. And yet when He was here, again, yung salitang dwelt, the word chosen in the Greek is the word for tabernacle. So the tabernacle, anong purpose ng tabernacle? In the camp of Israel, that is the reminder of God's presence. And then sinabi riyan, we beheld His glory. Anong maalala nyo pag pinagsama yung tabernacle? Glory. Remember, sa Exodus, the Shekinah glory, the inaugural service of the tabernacle, the Shekinah glory of God descended upon the tabernacle, and the people knew that's where God's presence is. So, nung sabihin na the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, we beheld His glory, it is saying what the Israelites experienced in the wilderness of the Shekinah glory in the tabernacle, we now have that experience in Christ. Hindi na sa isang tabernacle, hindi na sa isang worship place. Huwag niyong i-identify ang tabernacle sa building. The tabernacle now is Christ. How will you behold the glory of God? It is in Christ. So which means all these attributes we studied, in order for us to experience their gloriousness, they must be seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the eternal God became all that a dependent man is, and yet He embodied that glory. So what we have in the attributes of God is to be perceived, to be experienced in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So lahat-lahat ng mga pinag-aralan nating attributes, pagsama-samahin natin, at ang sabi ng salita ng Diyos, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, He has declared Him. Your experience of God will not be redemptive unless it is rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we draw to a conclusion, if you can take it, I want to use this as a challenge sa lahat sa atin. Pinag-aralan natin ang maraming katangian ng Diyos. Sa mga panauhi namin, ang hamon ko ay mararanasan mo lamang yan, hindi sa diretsahan na pakikipag-ugnayan sa Diyos. Ito ay mararanasan lamang kay Jesucristo. At malibang kay Jesucristo mo maranasan ang katangian ng Diyos. Ang Diyos para sa iyo ay magiging isang banal na hukom lamang. Kinakailangan lumapit ka kay Jesucristo. At narito ang isang pabor na narinig mo ang tungkol sa Diyos. Ngunit kung iisipin mo lang na may relasyon ako sa Diyos, ngunit wala kang relasyon kay Kristo bilang Panginoon at tagapagligtas, ang relasyon mo sa Diyos ay hukom lamang siya. Hukom na mabait sa iyo, hukom na mahabagin, ngunit hukom pa rin na iyong daratnan sa huling araw, malibang ikaw ay na kay Jesucristo. I want to specially challenge the young people. It is a great favor that you are given lessons about God, that in your early age, you can know God.
Alam niyo yung song na Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tenderest care. That was originally published in a young people's hymn book. It was meant to be sung by young people. You remember the line in that song which says, early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. The word early doon ay hindi early in the morning, hindi early in the day. It is early in your life. And you are much favored if early in your life you are given these thoughts about God. This is God. And I hope you have seen a little of the gloriousness of this God, the God that made Moses bow down and worship, the God that made Jacob tremble. But how do you respond to this God? Why is it that gimmicks or even phone apps thrill you more and you get bored with God? Why does text immediately call your attention but not the Word of God? Or even perhaps some of us are titillated by the gross and the foul and yet not by God. So challenge yourself. Early, seek God. At tayo mga Kristiyano, ganitong kadakila ang ating Diyos. Pero let us examine ourselves. Why is my worship so often bland and cold? Bakit ang pagsamba ko malimit ay matabang at malamig? Why do I know little of the words of that hymn? How wonderful, how beautiful the sight of thee must be. Thine endless wisdom, boundless power, and awful purity. It wasn't like that drum psyched him up to worship God. It's the thoughts of attributes. When he thought of the attributes of God, he thought it wonderful and beautiful. When did we have last such an experience that we draw near to God? That we draw near to him with a wonder, with a sense of his beauty, with a sense of his glory. So let all these thoughts of the attributes of God challenge us to have a dealing with God that is serious, sober, and Christ-rooted, and make it really a privilege, a sense of privilege, to know God. Any question? Any question or thoughts you'd like to share? Mayla.
Pastor, dun sa practical implication, can a Christian be oversensitive? Overly and annoyingly sensitive sa providence ng God? Is there such a thing as being overly sensitive? Na parang super, super liit na eh, i-coconnect pa niya sa, like, say for example, ay pupurihin niya ang Diyos dahil yung halimbawa yung pagkaing na iwan niya, napabayaan niya, hindi napanis, may kakainin pa siya, o dahil yung kanyang, for example, yung pet niya na, kunwari si Hami, yung biro lang, halimbawa hindi siya namatay, parang ganun, pinag-pray niya. Is this, yung extreme ba, Pastor? Is there room for this, or?
Yes, there can be extremes in the way one uses God's providence because, one, we cannot ourselves interpret providence. We know providence happens, but we cannot make our own interpretation of providence. Unlike sa scripture, there are no rules of interpretation sa providence. You only know what happens and you can respond in thankfulness, in praise, or just await events. But you cannot be fanatical sa pag-interpret ng providence na may nangyaring ganito dahil ganito. You do not know that yet. You may know later, but at the point that it happens, you do not know yet. So there is that word in Scripture about waiting upon God because He does not make things clear immediately. Kaya yung mag-i-interpret agad na dahil may ganito, therefore ito, mag-ingat tayo doon. we cannot interpret providence immediately. At kung minsan pa, yung especially, I've seen this among charismatic brethren, yung kanilang praise the Lord has become almost a punctuation sa kanilang mga pangungusap, na almost every sentence, praise the Lord, na hindi talaga nakaka-encourage na mag-praise, kundi nagiging masyadong mababaw na. I once attended a conference, and then yung isa sa panel, na sagi niya yung kanyang tech pen, nahulog, pinulot niya at sabi niya, praise the Lord. Masyadong natitrivialize. When we praise the Lord, it is something that really should elicit that praise because of something great about God. I don't see picking up a pen as great. Yes, Myla.
Pastor, parang ganun nga yung point ko kanina. Kahit hindi siya identified as isang praise na praise the Lord, para lang kasing kung lahat-lahat ng super small, parang all sizes ng manifestation ng goodness ng Lord ay i-broadcast mo, parang hindi na ma-appreciate, especially ng mga nakikinig, or siguro mas malalim kung yung mga Kristiyano distasteful na yung dating. So, ano po yung guidelines? Should Christian be wiser kung i-contain na lang niya sa sarili niya yung ibang bagay? At parang magiging mapili na rin siya kung papaano at kanino niya sasabihin yung mga pagpupuri niya, or mali ba yun na dapat puri ng puri na walang tigil, bawat hinga mo ay yun ang sasabihin mo?
Ayun ang iiwasan natin, because yun ang sinasabi ko, na it will trivialize yung napapaliit, yung halaga. Kaya nilagay natin sa hinay ng mga great attributes yung response of praise, which means you really perceive something great about God. And the trivial things of life, those are not matters that should lead to such responses na that are reserved for the attributes of God. Kaya wag natin i-trivialize things like praising the Lord, because when there are things that really should elicit our praise, trivial na yung dating. Kaya iwasan natin yun. But when there is really something to praise the Lord with, let us also be expressive without being trivial. Apong.
Pastor, about the praise the Lord and in Jesus' name thing, yung what about, Pastor, yung pag may nag-preach, kasi I was used to it, they shout amen, then they raise up their Bible pag nagsasalita yung pastor. Ano po yung opinion nyo about it?
Well, again, it's the same thing with praise the Lord. It can be trivialized. It can become something which is ritual. Parang nagiging ritual na pagtugon na lamang, sa halip na talagang bumubulwak mula sa yung diwa, yung pag-amen. Kasi amen is the response of agreement to a truth. Eh, minsan naririnig ko, nagbiro, amen pa rin eh. Even off-color jokes, ay amen pa rin. At kuminsan, yung pastor pa ang nagka-ask na, amen? Eh, hindi mo i-ask amen. Dapat, ano yun, something that is voluntary, something that is spontaneous. Pero kapag ritual na at nagiging trivial, kagaya rin po sa praise the Lord, iwasan natin yung ganun. I'm not against responding with amen. In fact, I wish, and I've been asking at the end of the public prayer, everybody in church should really say amen as a response to the prayer. And I'm not against responding with a spontaneous amen to a truth that you really appreciate. Pero yung ritual, misplaced, yun pong iwasan natin. Other thoughts? Any thought or question on the attributes of God as a whole in this series? Jim.
Pastor, yung kaibahan po nung concept ng immanence sa omnipresence.
Kung matatanda nyo, I said that omnipresence should really be immensity. Immensity means God covers. God, there is no place in which God is not. So yan yung immensity of God. Presence is really something of a special nature in which God relates to a particular activity of men. He may be present in mercy. He may be present in power. He may be present in judgment. So yun yung sa presence niya. Immanence is the way we experience the attributes of God, that He relates with us. Maring He relates with us in terms na nararanasan mo yung Kanyang love, nararanasan mo yung Kanyang mercy, and it is in that sense that we speak of the immanence of God. So immanence is a way of experiencing God's attributes. It is not itself attribute, but rather the experience of God's attributes. So yung balance na yun na sinasabi natin, if you will experience God in a balanced way, it will be both in transcendence and in immanence. Other thoughts? Kung saan nagawin natin continuing challenge sa atin, we will never come to a comprehensive knowledge of God, which means that it is a day-to-day challenge to know God more and more. And the way to know God more and more is, of course, through His Word and through communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. But let it be a challenge to us in a way that leads to praise and to thanksgiving. It has been a gratifying series for me in terms of preparation, and I hope that it has been a challenging one to all of you. Let us close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, maraming salamat sa natapos naming serye sa pagkakilala sa iyo, at napakalaking pabor, Panginoon, na masabing makilala namin ang aming Diyos. This is what you have said through the prophet Jeremiah, that we are not to glory in our riches, not even in our wisdom or power, but the real glory is in knowing you and understanding you in terms of your attributes. And may this be the way with which we approach you, whether in prayer or worship. Think of your attributes. And when we think of your attributes, we are meant to respond with praise and thanksgiving. And help us, Lord, not just to know about your attributes, but to experience them. And when we experience your attributes, we will know them in your transcendence, that you are high and lifted up. And yet, we will also know them in your immanence, that you dwell with the lowly one. Indeed, the thought that in the vastness of the universe, you look upon that one who opens the word and tremble upon that word. May we know more of that experience. Pinapanalangin namin ang aming mga panauhin na kanilang matalos na ang tunay na pagkaranas ng Diyos ay sa pamamagitan lamang ng aming Panginoong Hesukristo. We also pray for the young people. May they realize what a privilege it is for them that early in life they are challenged to know God. They are challenged to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And may it not happen that they are hindered by so many temporary things in this life. We pray for ourselves as your people. May we know more of that worship which knows your wonder, your beauty, a worship that is not psyched up by manipulative devices, but a worship that is drawn by who you are and by what you have revealed of yourself in terms of your attributes. So may we make it a day-to-day challenge, even as we are challenged even today's in today's lesson, that we are to be sensitive to your providence, but not in a way that trivializes it. So grant that we may be men and women who make it a note to praise you for your greatness, to thank you for your goodness, and to know you more and more every day of our lives. So we return to you the thanks and the praise for all of this and challenge us to be men and women who know God more and more. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.